Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Well, at the moment of that attack in Benghazi, Libya last week, Dr. Thomas Burke of Mass General Hospital here in Boston was in Benghazi on the phone with an attaché who was setting up a meeting between him and Ambassador Chris Stevens when that attaché suddenly yelled, "Oh my God," and hung up. Of course, Ambassador Stevens was later brought to the Benghazi Medical Center where he was pronounced dead. In a terrible irony, that was the very place where he and Dr. Burke were to meet the very next day to start planning Benghazi's first modern emergency care department. Dr. Thomas Burke is back in the States. He joins us now. Welcome back.
Hello, Robin. I'm glad to be here.
Boy, what a night that must have been. But yet, did you know, I mean, what a terrible thing to hear over the phone, but did you know what was happening when that attaché hung up?
Robin, we didn't know what was happening. But we did within a few minutes. We were on the phone with the attaché at 9:30 in the evening and, in fact, you know, heard the explosion. The attaché sort of yelled and said something terrible is going on and hung up. And then when we heard further explosions, you know, it became obvious that something terrible was happening. And we didn't know what that terrible was.
Thumps, blasts, you know, you were only a mile away, so you heard that.
Yes.
Of course, word begins to spread what's going on, and you went to the hospital where you were supposed to meet the next morning. What was the scene there?
During the night, we all, there were three of us, and during the night, we stayed put at the hotel and received updates fairly regularly. But the next morning, under heavy guard, I did go to the hospital, and the people remarkably were absolutely devastated, and there were people sitting in the hallways crying. The head of the emergency department is a surgeon, and he sat with me, and we actually sipped tea together, and he cried for the 20 minutes that we sat talking to one another.
Well, he showed you. I believe this is the doctor who showed you the medical note. You know, the write up of his attempt to save Ambassador Stevens.
Exactly. That was the. Ambassador Stevens' medical record was we reviewed it together, and he gave it to me. And they tried in vain for 45 minutes to revive him as best as they could.
Yeah. What did you say to him, by the way? Here you are, an American, you know, meeting with a Libyan after Libyans had attacked and killed an ambassador.
It was a great lesson in the mood of Benghazi that next day, and particularly at the hospital where people would come up to me regularly and take my hand in both of their hands, and they were apologizing and, you know, would bow their head and cry. And some of the reason was personal. Many of the people, particularly the leaders in health, knew Ambassador Stevens personally and he had come to their homes and had dinner with them, which is no small thing in a conservative Islamic society. But other you know, people would directly say, you know, "I'm so very sorry for our people." And in an Islamic society, or in that sense of a, you know, cultural system, people take responsibility for others' actions, and they did feel that this was a direct attack on the United States and felt horrible for their own loss of, you know, of all of what they've fought for the last several years in the revolution.
Well, and not only that, he was obviously a friend to so many, this one particular loss. But, you know, you say that this was the head of the emergency services that you were talking with who was sitting there crying. And we should say emergency services such as they are. You know, this is why you were there. They were so pitiful. And, you know, we've heard reports about the video that's posted on YouTube. It was taken by Afald al-Bakush. He's a freelance videographer who was wandering with people through the consulate after the attack. And they're the ones who came across Ambassador Stevens' body. And, you know, they reported that they were shouting out, "God is great. He's alive. He's alive." You know, the AP today has a new report. They quote the videographer as saying that Ambassador Stevens' eyes flickered, that he was breathing, that his head moved. They quote a young man named Shams, a 22-year-old, as saying, "You know, we were so happy to see him alive, to rescue him, but there was no security, no ambulances, nothing to help. You, who are a world-renowned expert in emergency services, especially for struggling countries, what does that do to you when you hear that, you know, he was alive?
You bring up an excellent point. You know, in all of Libya, and in particular Benghazi, there is no emergency service. There is absolutely no ambulance available. And just as you described, you know, the emergency department or emergency room itself is basically just a hodgepodge of space with really no one assigned to it. And so the concept of taking care of people when they're acutely in need, you know, is one that's not developed at all.
Well, I guess I'm also getting at, you know, this idea that whether or not it was Ambassador Stevens, you know, to think of a people who don't have emergency services, it really, when you stop and think about it, it's quite something.
Indeed. And in these modern times, particularly in parts of the world such as this that are moderately developed and you know, Benghazi, when you look at it, it looks like it was, you know, the 1970s where it was frozen in time, you know, basically at the beginning of, you know, Gaddafi's rule. And although, you know, broken up and down, it indeed appears like you're back in the 1970s, and certainly in the 1970s anywhere in the world that we're used to, there's some sort of ambulance service and emergency service that'll tend to you if you're sick or injured.
Dr. Tom Burke of Mass General Hospital. More in a minute, Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to our conversation with Dr. Thomas Burke, a world-renowned emergency room physician at Massachusetts General Hospital here in Boston. He was in Benghazi, Libya last week, scheduled to meet with Ambassador Chris Stevens to talk about a joint effort to set up Libya's first emergency care system at Benghazi Medical Center, when, of course, the U.S. consulate was attacked and Stevens and others killed. But Dr. Burke, you know, why was there such a need? Let's talk about Benghazi Medical Center. It was built nearly 30 years ago, but we understand it only opened in 2009. Why? What took so long?
The Benghazi area has always been well known to be moderate politically and just a bit more conservative than moderate socially. So Gaddafi found the Benghazi area to be a threat. So intentionally established a large military force there that had barracks, and the rule was oppressive. People were beaten in public. There were intentionally programs set up in schools so that children were dramatically incentivized to tell on their parents if they ever heard anything negative about Gaddafi, and then parents would be, you know, pulled out into public and either beaten or even killed. He also kept money away from them. It was impossible to have any private enterprise at all. There was none. Everything was state-owned and state-driven. So the hospital, this gorgeous, gigantic facility, was built 30 years ago, then was never funded to actually open or have anything inside of it. In many ways, cruel to the people.
Sure. I mean, this is how he controlled eastern Libya, by restricting these resources. So the physicians had no management experience. They didn't have any idea of the training that you were going to bring. And we understand that Ambassador Stevens was a big part of this relationship between Mass General and the Libyan government. We understand it was going to be a 10-year plan. What was his hope? What was your hope?
The day prior, when our team was on the phone with the ambassador, he was quite effusive, you know, for his enthusiasm for Massachusetts General potentially working with the Benghazi Medical Center. And what became quite striking is that although, you know, the senior physicians and senior leaders are good-hearted, are curious, quite intelligent, because of Gaddafi's rule, they've never had a budget. They've never had an organic structure, you know, understanding who relates to who within creating an organization or within creating a department. So they don't know the most basic components of leadership and management, which we're prepared to embark on a rather significant training program for them.
You're still going to do that?
my personal answer is yes, but quite honestly, we need to see what happens over the next few weeks, and then sit with the Mass General leadership and make a best decision as to how to proceed forward.
Yeah, because is it going to be safe for your people to do this? I mean, again, what a horrible loss that would be if, you know, you think of the things that might stop because of this attack.
Exactly, Robin. And in fact, that plays directly into the hands of those who are trying to destroy peace and trying to destroy the progress of democracy and freedom. They've accomplished exactly what they were setting out to accomplish. There are certainly other options, and we'll have to discuss them. We could certainly hold management and training programs in Istanbul if that was necessary. The first 6 months of our strategic plan actually is all about leaders and healthcare managers coming to Boston, and we have some training planned in Belgium. So there are possibilities, but I must say that we have to really put our heads together.
I'm sure one of the things you've noticed is that the militia that the U.S. and Libyan officials suspect might be behind this attack, they're claiming they couldn't have been behind the attack because they are the guards at another hospital in the region. And they said, well, we didn't do the attack. We were off guarding the hospital. So we're reading that U.S. and Libyan officials had a call, still another militia, to come help at the consulate. And it just underscored that, you know, this is still a post-revolution culture of heavily armed militias.
Exactly, Robin. You know, Benghazi has 35 militias, and these militias function independently from one another and anything but cohesively, and there is essentially no rule of law. I did ask the day after a number of leaders, what can the United States do to be helpful? And I heard over and over again, we need help with security. If we don't have security, we have nothing else.
Yeah. Well, I was wondering, too, just as a last thought, if they do have something that might end up being to their benefit. We remember that a lot of the emergency care here in the U.S. started post-war, you know, post-Vietnam. There was all sorts of technology. The jaws of life was created, but also emergency care learned on the battlefield, and that sort of jump-started our emergency care in this country. And we understand that the staff at the hospital in Benghazi got a real crash course in emergency room care. They had to set one up after the demonstrations there in Benghazi became violent. Of course, it was the beginning of the revolution, and, you know, we're understanding that in 20 minutes an ER was born, and that maybe some of this horror of war might be converted at least into knowledge about emergency care.
I think there's some truth to that. In fact, yesterday I was on the phone with colleagues from Benghazi, and one person actually did say that, you know, please, we still need help with emergency, and at no time have we seen it, you know, more obvious than last Tuesday evening when there were actually 10 people killed. It wasn't just the ambassador, and there were no ambulances for anybody to get transported and receive emergency care in a timely fashion.
Well, and also, wouldn't it be great if this could be Ambassador Stevens' legacy, or at least a part of it, that his dream of the emergency care does come to fruition?
It certainly would be. There's no question that Ambassador Stevens truly was a hero to the Libyan people and then to the United States in his pursuit of freedom and democracy.
Yeah. That's Dr. Thomas Burke, director of the Massachusetts General Hospital's Division of Global Health and Human Rights, a world-renowned expert on emergency care, who was in Benghazi about to start an emergency program when that attack happened last Tuesday. Dr. Burke, thanks so much for talking to us about it.
Robin, thank you very much.
And don't forget, we want your thoughts on anything on the program. Our first guest, Republican pollster Whit Ayers, who made the case that Mitt Romney was telling a hard truth in that leaked tape, or Dr. Burke's work in Benghazi. Weigh in, hereandnow.org, or at facebook.com/hereandnowradio, on Twitter, @hereandnow, @hereandnowrobin. Speaking of which, on the other side of the news, what's the biggest Twitter city, and how are those tweets working for the presidential candidates? That's still to come. Here and Now.
Support for Here and Now comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced, by Harvard University, whose Harvard Extension School has online and on-campus courses for students around the world, extension.harvard.edu, and by the Institute of Contemporary Art, featuring the glass sculptures of Josiah McElhaney, on view now through October 14th, icaboston.org.